Good morning, everyone. Nice, cool, crisp morning. I hope you're refreshed by the weather, but I hope more than that you'll be refreshed by the word. Amen. Day 21 of fasting and prayer. And it's been quite a ride. And so today I just want to wrap it up with talk to you a little bit about change. Fasting for change. Change is something that most people don't like. Most people are uncomfortable with change. But change is what he calls us to. If we don't change, then it's hard to follow. Isaiah 58. I just want to share from the word this morning. I don't think I have a lot to say, but the word does. So let's dig in. Isaiah 58, verse 2. The prophet is writing about or speaking the kind of fast that pleases the Lord. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls, and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. And you will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. The people had been fasting out of a religious spirit. Now, some of you may not know what that is, but a religious spirit is a very deceptive spirit because it mimics worshiping God. But it's really not worshiping God. It's going through a religious ritual or motion. And so the prophet was saying, yeah, you guys are fasting, you come to church, you worship, you go through this motion, and then you say, God, why haven't you heard us? Why aren't you responding? And it's because they're fasting and seeking with a religious spirit, out of a ritualistic, empty, wrong-hearted spirit. You see, God knew the deceitfulness they had. It's like coming to church every week, week after week, sitting in the same chair, no offense. Thank you. And just singing the songs, listening to whoever's at the pulpit preaching, and then go on about your business, and nothing changes. So this is what was happening there. And they were saying, God, we're fasting, we're sacrificing, afflicting our souls, meaning they were sacrificing for you, and you haven't heard us, you don't respond. And he says, in fact, this is what your fast does. And he talked about the things they were doing, to strike the fist of wickedness. He says, you will not fast as you do this day to make your voices heard. He's saying, you're fasting, yeah. You're coming to church, you're worshiping, and you know what? Then you're going out and doing the same thing over and over again. And nothing changes in your life. It's religion. It's religion at its finest. So you can see it's not new, but it's prevalent in today's time. It's prevalent in the church. Just going through the motions. Verse 6. But I skip verse 5 and say, he says, is it a fast that I've chosen? Just a day for a man to afflict his soul, to bow his head, spread out sackcloth and ashes? You call that a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? You see, they were doing it, but there was no heart in it. The heart was not right. They were doing it just to get God's attention and to check it off. We fasted, we prayed, we worshiped, but God, you're not hearing us. You see, God knows the heart. Doesn't matter the exterior. We can sing and dance and kneel and bow and do all that. But God's looking at your heart. He's looking at my heart. He looks at the heart. And he's saying, this is not cutting it, folks. You're just pretending. You're trying to fake it till you make it. And he said, that's not the kind of fast that I respond to. That's not the kind of fast that I, the Lord, have chosen. He says in verse 6, is this not the fast that I've chosen? You see, they were going through their motions and going back to their own selfish, self-centered ways. And yet they couldn't understand why he wouldn't respond. In verse 6, is this not the fast I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness? You know, we think of wickedness as some horrible, nasty thing that we commit or that we see happen. Do you know jealousy is wickedness? Strife is wickedness. Envy is wickedness. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. A yoke is something that holds together, attaches. Actually, a yoke can be really a bondage. A bondage to something. And he says, this is what I've chosen when you fast, to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, verse 7, that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? And when you see the naked, you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, meaning your own relatives. Then he says, you see, this is what he's saying. You can come and fast and pray and worship and do all those things, but if your heart is not in it, and if you don't have passion for me, the Lord, and you don't have compassion for your fellow man, that's not the fast I've chosen, he said. He said, but if you do, he says, if you do those things, he says, then your light, verse 8, shall break forth like morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. Your righteousness will go before you because he will have imparted righteousness. Do you realize we have no righteousness in and of ourselves? All we have is what he imparts to us. Then it goes before us. When we fast and pray and seek the Lord with our very being, with our heart and soul, then he can impart his righteousness in us. And that righteousness can go before us. We will have compassion for others. We will have a passion for him. There'll be healing. There'll be light. He says in verse 9, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You see, when you get your heart right and you call out to God, he'll answer. Their heart wasn't right. And they said, God, why aren't you answering? Why aren't you responding to what we're doing? Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. Here I am. He says, if you take away the yoke from your midst, the bondage, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, the pointing of the finger, blaming everyone else, diverting from yourself to others, calling others' weaknesses, others' shortcomings, others' faults, others' sin, pointing of the finger. Easy to do, isn't it? Easy to do. If you extend your soul to the hungry, verse 10, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. The light that he shines in you will shine in the darkness of these areas. And your darkness shall be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you, and he will guide you continually. You see, when our heart is right and we seek the Lord, he will give guidance. He will give direction. And he'll satisfy your soul in the drought. Doesn't matter how dry life gets, he'll satisfy your soul when your heart is seeking him. You see, what they were seeking was to go through the religious motions and expect God to satisfy their soul. He doesn't work that way. When our heart is right, he knows it. And he's happy to satisfy your soul. He's happy to bring contentment, guidance, contentment. And he says, and he'll strengthen your bones. When our heart's right, he'll bring strength to our spirit and to our body. He'll bring strength. And he says, you shall be like a watered garden. Like a watered garden. A watered garden flourishes. It brings forth fruit. It brings forth things that give life. Give life to others. You know, sometimes we think Isaiah 57:15, if you just back up a little bit there, this is what he's looking for. This is the kind of heart that God responds to. Isaiah 57:15, for thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the heart of the contrite. Contrite means remorseful or repentant. And so God's looking. It doesn't matter if we're fasting, we're praying, we're speaking, we're reading, whatever we're doing, we're bowing, we're laying before him. He's looking for a repentant heart and a humble spirit. You can't lay before the Lord in pride. And you can't cry out to the Lord in pride. You see, the pride was showing through those people when they said, we've afflicted our souls, we've fasted, and you don't respond, God? That's pretty prideful. They're calling God out. Dangerous stuff. Dangerous stuff. But he's looking for the person and the people that have a contrite and humble spirit so that he can revive the spirit of the humble. When you humble yourself before God, he's going to build you up. He's going to build you up internally and externally, physically, emotionally, but most of all, spiritually. Humble yourself before God and he's going to build you up. He's going to strengthen you in your spirit. You know, looking at this in chapter 58 and seeing how prideful and arrogant they were in their fasting, and sometimes I think we look at ourselves today, the church, you see a lot of the pride and ego. Remember, I told you a couple of months ago, the Lord gave me a word, that this church is very prideful. It's full of pride. Full of pride. You know, when we get prideful, let me show you what God says about that. Isaiah 40. Well, actually, I want to go to Joel first. I want to go to Joel 2:12. You see, the Lord wants a humble and contrite spirit, a contrite heart, a repentant heart. In Joel, he calls us to repentance. He says in 2:12, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning, fasting and humility." So rend your heart and not your garments. The custom then was when someone's really committed to something and something went awry and not in tune with what the Lord wanted, they just ripped their clothing if they thought it was wrong. And he's saying, I don't want you to rend means to tear. He says, I don't want you to, don't rend your clothing. Don't tear your clothing. He says, rend your heart, not your garments. You know what he wants us to do? Is he wants to tear our heart away from the world. He says, rend your heart to me. Tear it away from the worldliness and the things that have you bound. Rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. Turn to him. This is the kind of fast that he expects. Not just going through the motions and doing without food and focuses on how hungry we are for 21 days. He wants to tear us to tear our heart away from all those things and turn to him and return to the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. In Isaiah 40, next time you catch yourself being prideful, and don't misunderstand me. We need to take pride in things we do and how we live our life. But this is different. When we get prideful in the sense of arrogance, here's what the Lord says about us. The voice said, cry out to the prophet. And he said, what shall I cry? And the Lord gave him these words. All flesh is grass. Did you know you're grass? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. Sounds good, doesn't it? He said, but the grass withers and the flower fades because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. And surely people are grass. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. So we can be proud and get proud, but I tell you what, we can wither like that. It says, the breath of the Lord blows upon it, and it withers. You see, all grass, all flesh is grass. We're like grass, and we can wither and die in a moment. So what does this look like, this fasting that God's talking about and rending our hearts and returning and turning to him? I want to give you an example of what it looks like in Scripture, and it's in the Old Testament, and it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And Ahab had died in the battle, and Jehoshaphat was king, and he was getting rid of idols. And he was doing the right thing in God's eyes and trying to clean up the mess that Ahab had left. And he found himself in a position where the surrounding armies and enemies had come together and were going to come and attack and wipe him out. Because when you put three or four of those other ones together, they were just outnumbered and there was no way. And it says in verse 2, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar. which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to do what? Seek the Lord and proclaimed a what? Where? Throughout all Judah, throughout the whole nation. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Let me tell you what's key there. There was more than just a few of them that showed up. They came from all the cities of Judah. They came to do what? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. You know, we have we have a hard time getting 25 people to show up for prayer and praise once a month. Think about this. They came from every city to seek the Lord. You can say, well, Pastor, they had a problem. They were in trouble. Well, let me tell you something. We're in trouble. We're in trouble without the Lord. We're in trouble without seeking God. Have you not noticed the world we live in? So they came from all the cities to seek the Lord. And so in verse 9, he says, and he's speaking to the Lord, and if a disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence. You see, he's saying, we're getting in your presence, and it doesn't matter what comes. If the sword comes, if disaster comes, if judgment comes, we're just going to stand in your presence, God. Well, guess what? Not a better place to be than in his presence. You see, where the church misses it is we fail to get in his presence enough. We fail to get in his presence. We pick and choose when it's convenient, we get in his presence. And that's exactly what was happening with those people that were fasting and then saying, why aren't you paying attention to us, God? They were doing the convenient thing. And nothing was changing. Nothing was changing. Don't answer this. You just answer this yourself. What has changed in you these last 21 days? What has changed in you? Not around you, about you. What has changed in you these last 21 days? You see, when we're in God's presence, that's the only place change can take place. That's the only place it really will take place, is in his presence. So Jehoshaphat said, we're all going to fast, we're all going to pray, we're going to get in his presence, and we're going to stand in his presence. Stand in the idea of stay in his presence. Verse 12, he says, God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are where? Upon you. Our eyes are upon you. They set their eyes on the Lord, not on the armies that were gathering around. You see, those people back in Isaiah that were fasting and praying and then just going back to their same lifestyle, they weren't really trying to get in his presence. They were just trying to get his attention for favor, to get something. They were standing before God like this instead of like this. And you see, Jehoshaphat, this is a perfect example. He's confessing, we're helpless. We're helpless. We have no power against this great multitude. Do those people in Isaiah sound like they were helpless before the Lord? No, they were calling him out. God, why aren't you paying attention to us? I'm surprised he didn't in the next verse say, and they were wiped out. So Jehoshaphat said, we're helpless. But you know what? Our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. You know, I don't know what you're facing today. There's a lot of people facing a lot of things. And the one thing the enemy wants you to do is get your eyes off him. Distractions, diversions, doesn't matter what it is. He wants your eyes away from the Lord. And Jehoshaphat said, we will, the armies are around, they're closing in, we're focusing on you. We're not paying attention to them. That's trust. That's fasting for change. Oh, they wanted to change the situation with the armies, but more than that, they wanted to change themselves. They wanted to trust God completely and completely and completely. In verse 15, the Spirit, before that, the Spirit of the Lord came on Jehaziel, and he began to prophesy. In verse 15, he said, listen, all of you, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because the great multitude, because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but whose? Guess what? The battle you're in right now is not yours. It's his. And you can choose to fight it on your terms, with your strength, and your intellect, and your intelligence, and your knowledge, and your understanding. Or you can just fix your eyes on the Lord and wait. And wait. You see, that's the Lord spoke. When the Spirit of God came on Jehaziel, then God was responding. He was responding to their fasting. He was responding to their focus in his presence and their focus of their eyes on him. And he said, you know what? This battle's not yours. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be confused. This isn't your fight. I got this. I got this. Verse 17, he says, he goes on to say, you'll not need to fight in this battle. And here's a key word. Position yourselves. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Salvation meaning the deliverance. Yeah. And that's what God's saying to us today. Something needs to change. If nothing changes, nothing changes. Something needs to change. Change the way you approach God. Change the way you fast. Change the way you pray. Change the way you get in His presence. Position yourself. Stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord who's with you. And he said, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And then in verse 18 he says, watch this. Now here's the position. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face where? To the ground. He bowed his head with his face to the ground. Let me show you what that looks like. That's what it looks like. It's not standing before him proud, God, I'm waiting on you. I know you're going to do this. No. Position yourself. Position yourself not only physically, externally. Position yourself right here. Position your heart before the Lord. Face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, doing what? Worshiping him. You know what you do in the darkest, deepest hour of your fight, your battle? You worship him. Amen. You worship him. You worship him. You put your, that's position. That's the position you put yourself in. Face down, focused eyes on Him, staying in His presence, and worshiping Him. Worshiping Him. And of course, we know the rest of the story. He goes on to say, it won't be on the screen, but he said, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. You shall be upheld. You'll be protected. I want to go back to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 28, I think it is. Isaiah 40, 28. Are you with me?
Yes.
Have you not heard? Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even youths, young people shall faint and be weary. Young men shall utterly fall. But those who what? Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord means do just what Jehoshaphat called his people to do, and he did. That was waiting on the Lord. Wait on the, those who wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with what? Wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, get weak. That's what he'll do when our heart is right, when our fasting and our praying and our worship is right. This is what he'll do. And he'll do it for every one of us. Every one of us. Let's pray. Worship team, come up. He's looking for a humble heart, a repentant heart, a worshipful heart. And he's looking to deepen your faith and your relationship with him. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that our fasting would be for change. Not change around, change within. Change within. God, we need change. And by that I mean we need to change. We need to change our attitude, our outlook, our perspective, our understanding. We need to change our worship. We need to change our praying. We need to change our fasting. We need to change our reading of the Word, our studying of the Word. God, we need change, and we need it now. And it can only come through our relationship with you, through our seeking you, through our face down, standing in your presence, staying in your presence, seeking you. God, help us to do that. Help us to seek you. Help us to worship you. Help us to believe you. Help us to know you and to believe you, not just believe in you, but to believe you and to believe that you are the God you say you are and you do the things you say you do. Not down the road, not down the street, not next door, but right here in me. In Jesus' name. Thank you.